Hi, it's Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for listening to On Point. If you love this show, you may also love other great podcasts, shows, and journalism brought to you by NPR. When you support your local public radio station, it helps us keep our show going and helps NPR create new ones. The best way to keep On Point and NPR strong is to donate to your station. Visit donate.npr.org/onpoint to give. Then share why you did using the hashtag WhyPublicRadio. And thanks. From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. 24-karat magic in the air. Magic is in the air for Bruno Mars this week. Grammy nominations are out, and he has six of them. Jay-Z leads the pack with 8, Kendrick Lamar with 7. There's a trend this season toward hip-hop and rap in the top categories. Less pop, rock and country way down. Plenty of great music being celebrated, jazz, Latin, classical, and we will listen to it this hour on Point, the story of the Grammys. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Do you follow the Grammys? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is Dee Lockett, Associate Editor at Vulture, New York Magazine's entertainment site. Dee, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And with us from Washington is Felix Contreras, co-host of NPR's Alt Latino. Felix, welcome back to On Point. Wonderful to have you.
Thanks for asking me back, Tom. Good
Great to have you here. We will dive in. Dee Lockett, what are the headlines? What are the Grammy nominations this year?
So it's a big year for rap and R&B. One of the big stories is the Album of the Year category. There are no white men nominated in this category for the first time.
First time ever at the, 60th Grammys, I guess.
Yes.
Wow. Zero white men there. And surprises in or out this year, Dee?
So one of the big surprises in that category is Childish Gambino getting a nomination for Album of the Year. Many people thought that that would have gone to Ed Sheeran because his album Division is one of the biggest of the year. It's the highest selling album of the year until Taylor Swift came along.
Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And right up there. We've got in that category, Album of the Year, we've got just a couple of those. I don't know if these are the leads or not. Jay-Z certainly with 8 is very heavily favored this year, but maybe we'll just listen to them back a couple of these. Here we've got Humble by Kendrick Lamar off his album Damn. He's up for Album of the Year. Third time he's been nominated. Here's Humble. If I quit your BM, I still rock Mercedes funk. If I quit this season, I still be the greatest funk. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Tell him be humble. Holla. Sit down. Be humble. Holla. Sit down. Okay, there you go. For Album of the Year, Kendrick Lamar with Humble. And let's just listen back to back. You can think at home how you might vote on this. Kendrick Lamar's got Humble going on there, up for Album of the Year. Along with Redbone from Childish Gambino, Despacito, which has been everywhere, The Story of O.J. from Jay-Z, and we've got 24K Magic, Bruno Mars. Jay-Z, the most nominations this year with, 8 in total for his work on the album 444. And here's his song from the album, 444, Song of the Year as well. Title track, Open Love, an apology letter to his wife, Beyoncé. I apologize, often womanized, took for my child to be born, see through a woman's eyes, took for these natural twins to believe in miracles, took me too long for this song, I don't deserve you, I harassed you out in Paris, please come back to Rome, you make it home, we talked for hours when you were on tour, please pick up the phone, pick up the phone. Love and apology after his reported marital difficulties there with Beyoncé. Dee Lockett, how does this work? How is it decided? Who ends up on the nominee list? And then walk us through how the winners are decided. We kind of have an idea with the Academy Awards, the Oscars. How does it work for the Grammys?
Sure. So it's a somewhat similar process. It starts with record labels and artists submitting their tracks. And then from there, it goes into a screening process that is all done through the Academy. And it's essentially peer voted. Most people think that this is all happening from the old guard of record labels and journalists, but it's actually peer voted. And it happens between artists, other artists, people who work on the technical side. So that can be people who engineer albums. And then once these submissions are brought in, there's a screening process and people have to decide whether or not it fits the eligibility dates. So for this year's nominations, that was between October 1st, 2016 and September 30th, 2017. And then they decide what songs and albums fit where between categories. Last year, that was controversial because it meant that Beyoncé's Daddy Lessons did not make the country category. Mm. And then from there, it moves on to the first round of nominations. So these peers are suggested to vote in the field that they have expertise in, and they can vote in up to 15 categories, as well as the top categories. And then from there, there are certain categories that have to go through a special committee voting. This actually changed this year because now rap has to go through a special committee voting, which essentially means that it's their way of weeding out popular versus quality. It's their way of trying to also find artists who are more underground, who don't have like the highest budgets, like the Jay-Z's of the world.
Back in the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we get our nominations. There was also one more change this year, which was that voting happened online this year for the first time ever.
So is it thousands of people in the industry, when you say peers, who are voting on this, or is it a few hundred? Do you have any
idea? There are 13,000 members.
Wow. So it may be in the field, maybe peers, but that's a lot of people. And they do it by expertise, you say? So, for example, if it's Latin music, which we'll look at, would it be those who work in Latin music who vote on that, Adi?
It should be. They're encouraged to vote in their field of expertise. That hasn't always happened in the past, but they're getting better at that.
Felix, I don't know if you think about the Grammys much at all, but this whole idea, you know, that we have, of course, people love prizes and we love it with movies and people make a lot about how many Grammys an artist has won. What about the idea of putting two pieces of music up and deciding which is the better one, the more deserving of, you know, a trophy, a prize? I mean, when you listen to those Kendrick Lamar there and Jay-Z, Felix, and I know Latin is and jazz are your things, but listening to those, could you say, well, there's the better piece of music, Jay-Z hands down or Kendrick Lamar hands down?
No. The short answer is no. I mean, I think it's more of a what your taste is. And I think where the Grammys make a difference, I think, is on the categories that are away from the big categories. And when you get into the smaller, and you get into those quote unquote weeds, you get into the smaller categories, because someone who's playing some folk music, a Grammy win is going to help them with their what they're able to charge.
So this person's worth listening to. This band, this group, this man, woman.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it has a more of an impact on the so-called lesser categories, I think. Because, you know, look at Jay-Z and Kendrick Lamar. I mean, they pretty much have what they need in terms of recognition, in terms of all that. A Grammy win would be nice because then it's recognition from their peers, from the Academy.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's the smaller categories where it really makes a difference.
I mean, we were talking about sorting out what's popular from what's the top quality. But surely popularity comes in here with a big stick at some level as well. I mean, among those up for Record of the Year, Song of the Year, we've got Despacito. It was the song of the summer. You could not escape it. It could be the song of the year. It's the remix of Despacito, the cross-cultural hit by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee featuring Justin Bieber, is up for Record of the Year and Song of the Year. You know it well. You can't avoid it. Here it is and was and is. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Okay, Felix, this is right up out of the Latin category, in Record of the Year, you know, tip top. So give us your assessment, sir.
Well, you know, some people might be tired of Despacito, but there are a whole bunch of people who are not. And I think
moving to it.
I think it broke the counting machines at both Spotify and YouTube because it was just so popular. It was unprecedented in how popular it was. And you know what? It actually was, as you mentioned, a significant cultural moment because so many people warmed up to and sang along with a song in Spanish. And it's never happened that way, especially in that magnitude. and especially when you think about the current political climate. It's a very, very strong cultural statement.
So it is absolutely compelling. You can't avoid the sort of push of it. You want to get with it. Is this, when it comes to a Grammy, okay, you're the judge, Felix. Is this great music? Would you give it a Grammy?
I would, in the comparison with that, the other stuff, you know.
The Felix verdict. We hear it. We hear it dangling.
You know, I think it's worthy of a Grammy for the statement and the music that it made, and again the cultural moment that it represents, and how the genres are breaking down. And you know, there's, when you listen to it, there's the reggaeton element, but there's also Daddy Yankee is in there, and he's doing the rap, and that also references the influence of rap, which is represented by both Jay-Z and Kendrick Lamar and any of the other artists nominated. I think it's worthy of a Grammy just for that. I mean, it's when we interviewed Luis Fonsi over the summer, even as this thing was taken off, and he was just almost had no words for it. But he was talking about how sticky, he said pegajoso. And it was sticky, that reggaeton beat is.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's pan-Latin.
You can't resist it.
It's everywhere.
And everything melding together in this song, Dee. I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from or what music you normally got in your earbuds. You are going to move when Despacito comes on, Dee.
It's a well-crafted pop song.
Things are changing. Hip-hop, very big this year at the 60th Grammys. No white guy in the very top rank. And country music, shut out for the big top categories this year. Those favored rap and hip-hop, pop not even doing so well. Taylor Swift, a Grammy favorite in past years, did not receive a nomination for her eligible singles. But she's up for two Grammys, one for Country Song of the Year. Here's the song she wrote, Better Man, by country group Little Big Town. We are looking at the Grammys, the nominations out this week, how it all works, who's up, who's down, what we're hearing, with Felix Contreras of NPR's Alt Latino. Dee Lockett from Vulture is here. You can join us, 800-423-8255. Do you follow the Grammys? What are you waiting for? 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. Here's Redbone by Childish Gambino off his album Awaken My Love. He's up for five nominations this year, including Album of the Year and Record of the Year when it comes to Grammys. It's been a big year for Childish Gambino. Real name is Donald Glover. He won an Emmy earlier this year for his hit show Atlanta. We're talking about the Grammys, the nominations out this week, how it works, who's up, who's down, what we are hearing with Dee Lockett, associate editor at Vulture. Felix Contreras, host of NPR's Alt Latino. You can join us this hour. What's the category you're watching? What's your question about how it all works? And how would you judge one song against another? 444 against Issues. That's What I Like against Despacito. We're at 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Mike is calling from Boston. Hi, Mike. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Great. Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I got a quick comment and a question. So I'm in Boston. I work at a Boys and Girls Club. I'm a music director here.
Awesome.
In Dorchester.
Great.
And we are paying attention this year to the Album of the Year category. The fact that there are no white men on that list is very important to me. I am a white male. But we're actually voting and looking at the best album of the year. It's really important that there's a lot of hip-hop represented here, certainly with Kendrick and Jay-Z. My question is, does the panel think that hip hop and rappers are going to be kind of raised up this year into the cultural dialogue about really what's important in our culture?
I mean, Mike, don't you think they're already pretty raised up? Don't you think they're pretty high in the culture already, or not?
Well, I think it's obviously high in a popular sense.
Yeah.
What I want, though, is the pantheon of critics and, you know, the people that make these decisions to really look at this music and understand what it means to so many people in our communities in this country, but across the world.
Absolutely.
And it would be great. My vote is for Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
For Album of the Year. I'm
yes. Hey, can I ask you, Mike, you said it's very important to you as a white guy that there are no white guys in the Album of the Year category. What is the importance of that to you as a white guy? If it's important to you in that way, what's it mean to you?
Yep. So, for instance, listening to Kendrick's album for, you know, over and over, I've just learned so much about myself, about you know, my peers, about my students, about people that I live with every day.
Yep.
And it has changed my perspective. It has made me ask questions. It has made me excited as a musician. It's made me excited as a citizen, as a consumer of art and of culture, and just as a thinker. You know, it's just made me very excited. And I think being open to that perspective as a white male,
yep,
is important. We need it right now in our country.
And Mike, I really appreciate your call. Yes, we got it, and we hear it, and I appreciate it. Felix, what about hip-hop? And it's come for a long time now, rap and hip-hop, with big, deep, penetrating messages that have penetrated deep into the culture. What does it say to you that it's so dominant in this year's Grammys?
Well, I'm old enough to remember the world before hip-hop.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, it's exactly what Mike said. It's a way that people can understand each other. It's important for people to not shun it. And I think that is this moment right now. This list of nominations is a high watermark in the story of hip-hop, in that it has that many, or at least it has that much influence in the recognition of the industry. Obviously, with record sales and tour sales and all that, but when you talk about the cultural influence, I mean, it's global. I mean,
sure,
on our show, an alt Latino, like, you know, Ana Tiju down in Chile, mm-hmm, you know, the Cuban rappers. I mean, it's lingua franca all over the world.
I was just down in Colombia, and plenty of hip hop being sung there by Colombians.
One of the nominees this year, Bomba Estéreo from Colombia, just, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah.
I think it is a high water mark, and I think it reflects, and it does reflect what Mike hopes it does, in that recognition of the genre, recognition of the art form. You know, as with any art form, there's good stuff and there's going to be mediocre stuff and there's going to be bad stuff.
Yeah.
My kids are listening to hip hop all the time in the car, and I'm like, I can dig that. Eh, that's okay. That stuff I don't want to hear again. You know, there's a little bit of everything there.
Of course, always a range. I mean, it's interesting. Dee, here's one of our listeners online writing, says, Kendrick Lamar's the only album worth I guess you could say, damn, that's the name of the album. But goes on to say, these should be the albums of the year. And then says, St. Vincent for Mass Seduction, The National, Sleep Well Beast, Spoon, Hot Thoughts, plenty of white artists there. We don't want to get too hung up here in the color of the performer, but it just happens that this listener is saying, well, my albums of the year would go a different direction. What do you say, Dee?
Well, I should first note that the St. Vincent album was not eligible.
Oh, not in the time frame? Okay.
No. But, you know, the Grammys have a real opportunity here to do some course correction, and I think that they're acknowledging that in their nominees. This is Jay-Z's first Album of the Year nomination, if anyone out there can believe that.
Wow.
And it's also only the fourth time that two rap albums have been nominated at the same time for Album of the Year.
Okay, okay. So it actually is climbed into a different kind of tier with that, just on the face of it.
It is. And if any of these artists, aside from Lorde, were to win, it would be the first time since 2004 that a rap or R&B album won in this category. For more than a decade, it's been pop, it's been rock, and it's been jazz.
That's pretty
remarkable.
Yeah,
it hasn't been what has been reflected on the charts. And, you know, the face of the country is changing, and the face of music is changing.
Yes, it
is. Hip-hop dominates the charts.
Yep.
It dominates sales. It dominates streaming. And that should be reflected in what gets to be awarded and recognized on this level.
Let's go to Karen in Madison, Wisconsin. Karen, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to comment about the question about hip-hop culture and what the previous caller was talking about. Will this kind of recognition elevate hip-hop artists? So I think there's an important disconnect in society where we love the music worldwide and we celebrate it, but we still have a lot of racism to deal with the artists being majority Black and other people of color. So it's both loved and both feared very widely.
I hear it, Karen. I hear it loud and clear. So watch this space and watch how it's received. The Grammy's receiving it pretty abundantly this year. Let me play a little more. This is Bodak Yellow from Cardi B. First female hip-hop artist to top the chart since 1998 with her single Bodak Yellow. She's up for two Grammys, Best Rap Song and Best Rap Performance for it.
Me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cut it off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves.
Say, I don't Cardi B, first female hip-hop artist to top the charts since 98 with her single Bodak Yellow there. Elaine in Surrey, Maine, thanks for calling, Elaine. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I'm a DJ who hosts an indie rock program on a local community radio station, and I just want to say that after decades of insignificance, the Grammys have finally become relevant in having an indie category, because when people say rock is dead, it really gets my hackles up, because what's happening is happening in a really vibrant indie rock shadow world, and there's lots of great rock music out there. And I'm personally rooting for Father John Misty to win in this category, not because it's my favorite album, because I think it's a really significant album. Actually, my favorite was probably the Spoon album. But, you know, the Grammys serve indie well in highlighting these artists who really don't get a lot of recognition. And I also just want to say I heard Despacito for the very first time when you played that clip on your show. I had never heard the song before.
You're definitely in indie world.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. We had Lady Lamb on from up here, Mainway, Main Kid, not so long ago, out of that indie realm as well. Yes, I mean, the Grammys can really put people up sometimes out of nowhere and give them all kinds of attention. Best New Artist category, probably one of the most competitive. This year, SZA's official debut album, Control, earned her a spot. Here's her song, The Weeknd.
My man is your man, hurt is her man too. My man is your man, hurt that's her man. Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, I just keep him satisfied through the weekend. You like 9 to 5.
SZA with The Weeknd, and she's right up there among the top nominees. I mean, Dee, this can mean the world to a newcomer.
Of course. And with her first album as well.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Terrific. Nico in Corning, New York. Nico, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Nice to talk to you. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you. What are you thinking?
Somebody was talking about Despacito earlier and about why it's an effective song or why not. I have to say that I don't know if it's because I'm a Spanish speaker, but what I find so catchy about the song, it's very sticky. There's the moment when it goes from the verse, and then the chorus hits, and it goes, Despacito,
yeah, yeah.
And
it slows it down.
And it becomes very sensual.
Yeah.
You know, it's very powerful. It's simple, but very effective as a pop song, I think. And then the other comment I wanted to make, and then I'll get off the air, was just that somebody a couple of callers ago said, as a white man, I'm very concerned about the Grammys. I'm not sure exactly what he was saying.
I think he was celebrating. I think he was celebrating the trend, Nico.
Oh, good, good. That's what I was hoping.
Yeah, I think that ended up being pretty clear.
After all these years, good. After all these years of people of color not being recognized, finally it's happening, and I think that's great.
Nico, I really appreciate your call and love that you're listening. Love having you with us. Can we plunge right on into the Latin music categories here? Felix, we've got Guerra by Resident
Guerra
by Residente, themes of cultural diaspora and war, self-titled solo album up for Best Latin Rock, Urban or Alternative Album. Let's listen to Guerra, War.
El dolor no me causa problemas, hoy los dolores recitan poemas. El mundo me lo como sin plato, el miedo a mí me limpia los zapatos. El fuego lo derretí, hoy las pesadillas no duermen porque piensan en mí. Hoy puedo ver lo que el otro no vio y los pongo a rezar aunque no crean en Dios. Hoy las lágrimas lloran antes de morir y a los libros de historia los pongo a escribir. Que le tiemblen las piernas al planeta Tierra, hoy yo vine a ganar y estoy hecho de guerra, hecho de guerra.
Guerra by Residente. Felix, I know our listener Nico is going to have every word of that, but some won't. Give us a sense of what we're hearing here.
You know, Residente's album is a reflection on identity. And every song, he's talking about some aspect of this inward journey that he made. You know, he took a DNA test a few years ago, and what he did was he made this record and traveled to parts. You know, when you do this DNA test, there are all these, like, incidental, not incidental, but there's like these
unexpected. You got a little bit of this and a little bit of that in your blood.
So he went to a couple of, he went to a couple of the unexpected places, and Guerra was recorded in the Caucasus. What he did was he went to these places and he recorded with local musicians in China.
He's Puerto Rican, right?
He's from Puerto Rico, yes. He is from the island.
Yeah.
So that he mixed in some of this stuff. And the whole album, along with the film that was made with that, is I thought was just a fascinating exploration and a really big step in his writing and his career.
It's got a great sound to it. It's got that sort of deep, thoughtful quality, and at the same time, mesmerizing.
It's musically, it's over the top. It's just fascinating. And lyrically, you just go on this inward journey. You know, as with all great records and great art, it's also reflective. You can reflect yourself in the, you can see yourself in the music and the writing and the words. It's, and the album does have, when you buy the album, the physical album, the physical product, it does have translations of the lyrics.
I want to go to, if we may, Alex, did you say Cuba?
Yeah.
And going up against Juanes and Shakira for Best Latin Pop Album. And off of that, here is Todas las Cabezas Están Locas.
Puede suceder un día quizás, mujer, te enamores infinitamente. Y entonces la luz encienda tus fantasías, dejándote llevar entre locuras.
Todas las cabezas están locas. Todas las cabezas están locas. Todas las cabezas están locas.
All heads are crazy there. Alex Cuba up for Best Latin Pop Album for his album Lo Único Constante, The Only Constant. Talk about the genres at work there, if you would, Felix.
There is, Alex Cuba is just this fascinating character. He's originally from the island, from Cuba. He met and married a Canadian and moved to this really remote town on the west coast of Canada. Think snow, lots of snow.
Okay.
But he's still creating this music, and you can hear it. He's still creating this music that has, obviously, a Cuban feel, but more singer-songwriter as he goes along. As the longer he stays there, the more the singer-songwriter influence, acoustic guitar, all that stuff really comes through. And, you know, he's... if you're going to ask me to pick a favorite from this category, I won't.
Okay, you're a wise man.
Well, because every album... it's just fantastic on its own. And it's a great, it's a strong category, just very, very different shades of Latin music, and it shows the width and breadth of the styles that are present in Latin music these days.
Juanes in the up for Best Latin Pop Album out of Colombia also, Mis Planes Son Amarte, and a lot more. Quick call from Susan in Newton, Massachusetts. Susan, you're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, we're up against the clock. What do you know?
Well, I'm a doula and a volunteer doula. I attend births in the Boston area, and I have heard more than one baby being born to the rhythms and the song Despacito.
Oh, my gosh.
The midwife,
so cool.
The doula, born to Despacito. Well, Susan, do you think they'll have music in their blood if they're born that way?
Well, it's just the mixture of the rhythm and the content and the shifting tensions of the song.
Yeah.
It's perfect. I encourage couples to listen to music when they have the baby, and, you know, so these babies are being born to that song.
That will be one memorable song for those parents, that mother, that newborn baby being born to Despacito. Pretty amazing. Kay Flay is the only female artist nominated in the rock category this year. She's up for Best Rock Song for Blood in the Cut in the Grammys. Felix Contreras with NPR's Alt Latino and Dee Lockett with Vulture, please stand by. We are looking at the Grammys, the nominations out this week, how it works, who's up, who's down, what we're hearing. We'll look at some classical when we return. You can join us. Is it all about the Grammy show for you? Have you found performers you like there? Are you listening way beyond rock and pop and hip-hop? Where's your passion? Classical? Jazz? Roots? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. It's too quiet in this room. I need noise. I need the buzz of the sun. Need the crack of a whip. Need some blood in the cup. I need noise. I need the buzz of the sun. Need the crack of a whip. Need some blood in the cup. I need blood in the cup. I need blood in the cup. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are listening to music from the Grammy nominations this year. Right here, Ben Platt with Waving Through a Window, a song from the Broadway musical Dear Evan Hansen. They're up for a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album, one of only three nominees in that category. That's low. The Academy can nominate up to five, but did not. We're looking at how the Grammys work, who's up, who's down, what we are hearing. The Felix Contreras of NPR's Alt Latino, Dee Lockett of Vulture. Mark Swed joins us soon from the Los Angeles Times, classical music critic there. You can join us as well. Are these songs on your playlist all the time? Are you hearing them for the first time? And what do you want from the Grammys? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And you can join us right here. Comments online? Well, DeKaido says, popular versus quality, popular wins out most times. Mike writes to us on our website, hip-hop is the new pop. We were talking about hip-hop taking over pop as a category. James, still stuck on the ranking and rating, says, I really dislike awards for artistic expression. Shall I rank Monet above Picasso, Liszt above Brahms, McCarthy above Hemingway? Well, yeah, that's a question we never get over. Drew's calling from New York, Buffalo, New York. Hi, Drew, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm calling on behalf of a tribe called Quest today.
Yeah.
And we talk about inclusion of, you know, people of color and of rap music. And, you know, they didn't get a nomination this year. And I'm confused why, because, you know, they're one of the most influential hip-hop groups of all time. And yeah, they didn't get a nomination this year.
D, inquiring minds want to know, what happened to A Tribe Called Quest?
Oh, I wish I knew. I also agree, and I think that they were snubbed. It's interesting because after the nominations were announced, Q-Tip, he posted a series of Instagram videos making the same point that, you know, A Tribe Called Quest, not only was this their final album,
yeah,
and from a legacy artist, one of the most important rap groups in the history of rap, very seminal rap group, this was an album of the moment. It spoke to the political climate, and the Grammys invited A Tribe Called Quest to perform at this year's ceremony, and they gave a very politically searing performance with Busta Rhymes. He called out Donald Trump as Agent Orange, and then only to go on later in the year to find out they're not nominated. I think it was a mistake to have them absent from that category. But that said, you know, I think the Grammys, when they were trying to decide on popularity versus quality, they were also trying to give some recognition to newcomers in rap.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Best Rap Album has artists like Migos and Tyler, the Creator, up for it, that category. But then also made way for new names that people might not ever have known about had it not been for this category, like Rapsody. She's up for her album, Layla's Wisdom. She was featured on Kendrick Lamar's last album, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a hunch that's how the Grammy voters found out about her. But yeah, it's controversial. There's always going to be that one snub that hurts the most.
Yeah.
And I know that one did for me.
Of course, there are so many categories, and I want to get to more. Tribe Called Quest, credit there, but not on the list this year. Felix, you pay a lot of attention to jazz as well. Here's a taste of one nominee in the jazz genre. This is Bill Charlap. The trio is up for Best Jazz Instrumental Album for Uptown Downtown. There's a Small Hotel. We're going to look at classical in just a second. What do you see in the jazz categories this year, Felix?
You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of what I like about Bill Charlap in this category is, you know, his specialty is just great piano jazz, great trio. It's a lot of melodicism. He's musically adventurous, and every note swings like crazy. So it redefines the genre of piano jazz, but also keeps it alive and then moves it forward too, because he brings in a new kind of approach to it in a lot of ways. He's one of the standout artists, I think, in that whole category.
Boy, if that's representative, I'm in. Bill Charlap Trio there. That just sounds wonderful.
Oh, it's a great record, man.
Oh, I would put that on in a nanosecond. Can we turn to classical? You guys have been so great. I want to bring in Mark Swed, classical music critic for the Los Angeles Times. Pulitzer Prize winner there for his commentary. Mark Swed in L.A., thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Finalist, excuse me. We've been all over the horizon here, but haven't touched classical yet. And that is a huge category in itself. I don't know how you dive into something so big and figure out what to put where. Is there a trend? Is there a star? Is there something remarkable about the nominees this year, Mark?
No.
Okay, great.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's big. It makes no sense whatsoever. There are some obvious stars and some obvious big names and some things that come out of left field, and you could almost have done this by random. I don't know that there is anything really known as the Grammys. We talk about this as if there's an idea behind it, and I don't think there really is.
And yet I've seen it on album covers for years, or whenever, you know, artists, including classical artists, are described. It's Grammy Award winning.
Yes, it always, you know, it's a big award, and it's a lot of cachet. But I don't understand quite where any of these things are coming from, although there's some splendid recordings on here, and things that you just kind of wonder, you know, who was behind getting that one on.
Well, listen with us for a second. We've got Michael Tilson Thomas, and in this category, classical, and the San Francisco Symphony. They're nominated in the Best Orchestral Performance category for their recording of Debussy's Images for Orchestra. And here's a bit from number one, Gigue. Okay, Mark, you're the man here.
That is actually one of the standouts. That is the single standout recording in the Best Orchestral category. Curiously, all of the recordings are, except for this one, are from kind of second-ranking but very good American orchestras, no European orchestras at all. But nothing particularly special other than this. This WC recording, I think, is really gorgeous.
Well, let loose some of your critics' silver tongue here on what you hear in it, that, you know, these things, they're classical. They've been performed for years, and here it is. It sounds very bright. It sounds lovely. What do you hear that says standout?
There's a beautiful presence to the music. WC's music stays fresh and can sound very, very modern.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tilson Thomas brings out something very, very beautiful, very, very present. You know, it feels like it's happening at this moment, and it's saying something, and it's very alive. And I think it's a terrific recording, so that's one I'm happy about. And I hope it wins, but who knows? I mean, that's the other thing about the Grammys. There's really no way to predict,
yeah.
except in a few cases where there may be a sentimental choice or a very big name.
We've got Tom calling from Columbia, maybe on this front. Tom, thank you for calling. You're on the air. What do you know?
Hi, Tom. I've been a member of the Academy for about 15 years, and I've watched so many trends evolve during my membership. My primary area is classical music. I'm a conductor. And I think
do you conduct in Missouri, where you're calling from, Tom, or where?
I have conducted here, but I've conducted on four continents,
okay.
actually.
Okay,
And what I've noticed, and this is kind of along this Latino theme that you've been speaking of and mm-hmm. some other influences, music is becoming pretty universal. Mm-hmm. And music is becoming truly a language that speaks everywhere. And I think we're seeing a synthesis of cultural elements that are coming into play more and more effectively in all the categories.
Yeah.
In the classical category, one of the topics of conversation for years has been, we have like best opera, best classical composition, and there's a lot more diverse music going on in the classical field now, and I think it's become fairly culturally diverse. And one of the things, you know, for instance, in listening to Debussy, one of the mm-hmm. things that sparkled for me when I have listened to that is the clarity of that's
yes.
so seldom present in Debussy,
yeah.
and the emphasis that Tilson Thomas has placed on color, on tone, color, and timbre.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that as the Academy has evolved, I don't always see the Grammy Awards as simply picking the best recordings of the year. I think the Academy has become much more sensitized to consumer interest, the issues of free downloads and things like that, and in an effort to remain relevant and a leading force, at least, in music, we have an obligation to respect diversity. And, you know, I'm not sure that it matters to me which album's top album this year. I think it's pretty incredible, the albums that have been nominated.
There from a Grammy member who will be voting, Tom in Columbia, Missouri, I really appreciate your call. Let's hear one more from the classical category. This is from 26-year-old Russian pianist, phenom, Daniil Trifonov. Got a nomination for Best Classical Instrumental Solo category for his recording of Franz Liszt's Transcendental Etudes. Here's number 4, Mazeppa. Okay, I'm in. Mark Sweat in Los Angeles Times. What do you hear?
He's a very exciting pianist. Oh. There's no question about it. He is the hot young Russian pianist, maybe the hot young pianist, period, on the scene right now. He's actually, this is a recording from, what, maybe a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually evolved somewhat since then. And, you know, I think it has a very good chance of winning, although it's up against one other important recording, which is the revered pianist Marie Braille playing Bach's French Suite.
Mm-hmm.
And then three others that are just not contenders at all. But yeah, I mean, he is one of the really hot stars that you would kind of expect the Grammys to pick.
And we can hear why right there. John in Dorchester, Massachusetts. John, you're on. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
As I explained to your screener, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, but I had to call when you started with the music.
Yes,
and
sir.
And speaking of the classical music,
yeah.
I heard a classical guitarist play Bach's four concertos for cello. And it was absolutely outstanding. So anyway, I listen to all music, and I'm 86 years old, and I go way back to Charlie Barnett and, oh gosh, so many.
I love
and,
it.
Yes, and I just love music, period. My musical ear is always wide open. This is the first time I've been able to get through to you for some of the other things that you've been doing, playing. And I really enjoy your program immensely. I listen to it every day faithfully because I am a senior citizen and I am retired.
Yes, sir.
And thank you. And thank you so much for the information that you bring and the people that you bring on your show.
John,
that's all I have to say.
I could not be happier for your embrace right there, and that you were listening when we had Bach. I guess you mean when we had Elliot Fisk on recently playing Bach. We aired that, and I'm so glad you heard that, and so glad you catch it so often. Thank you very much for calling. I mean, Felix, you know, we had Tom in Missouri saying he sees a kind of a universal quality coming into music, a kind of a global synthesis underway. Do you see that? What does that portend for music, Felix?
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. I mean, when you have people down in Argentina mixing Argentine folk music with electronic music from, let's say, Berlin or just something like that, and it creating its own sound, the internet, that is the promise of the internet, where people can access things from all over the world. And it just, I've been listening seriously to music. I say this all the time, seriously to music since about 72, when you had, even in rock, the Allman Brothers, Jeff Beck, where they were kind of bending genres. This is an even more exciting period now. I couldn't be happier doing what I do.
And the synthesis is part of it, you're saying, the way all these musical cultures are meeting and blending.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have that conversation every now and then, like just what defines Latin music? Well, that's, you know, it's harder and harder in a good way. It's harder and harder to define because there are so many different influences and things that you and I grew up with are part of that landscape. But it's so expanded now. It's just, it's fun and it's fascinating.
Well, it certainly is. And it's been such a privilege to talk about and listen in with all three of you. Right across the whole variety of tremendous variety of categories that the Grammy goes to. Yeah, sometimes it's just a crazy big stew, but when you dip in, it's kind of wonderful. And quality, popular, well, they both matter too. Mark Swed at the Los Angeles Times, classical music critic there. Thank you so much for coming on with us for a few minutes today, Mark. Wonderful to have you from L.A.
Thank you for having me.
Dee Lockett, you are terrific at Vulture and so good to be with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
And Felix Contreras at NPR's Alt Latino. Felix, it's a pleasure every time. Thanks for being here.
Tom's always a guest. Thank you.
Lorde's critically acclaimed album Melodrama earned a nomination for Album of the Year. Jack Antonoff helped write and produce the album. Many think he was snubbed by not earning Producer of the Year, but here she is, Lorde, with the song Green Light. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
My things and just let go. I'll wait.